now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to the Who Got Next podcast. This is your host, E-Dub, and we are back with a brand new episode for the week. Hopefully, everybody is doing okay. Before we get started on this episode, this show is being brought to you by Sippin' Black Only. Sippin' Black Only is a new company that's residing here in Charlotte, North Carolina, that aims to start a platform of committed to intentionally elevate blackness one cork, one pour, and one sip at a time. Make sure you check them out on IG at Sipping Black Only and their platform on their website, sipblackonly.com. Again, I am your host, E-Dub, and we are back with another episode. I am talking with a brother who is doing some good things in the community. His name is Barry Green. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. And before we get started, who I'm speaking with, he is the owner of Shades of Moss here in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is considered a plant store, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So I just wanted to talk to you. Of course, right now, plants are starting to come in style.
Right.
Of course, they've always been in style. But I think just for the African-American community, I want to say probably around the pandemic time,
right,
you started seeing it pop up a lot more. You've seen a lot of individuals start to get way more interested in plants. I've looked at a few, but we're gonna get you one. I'll be honest with you. I'm not that versed. I'm not that versed on them. But of course, I'm paying attention to what other people are doing, and right, I find it very interesting. So I just wanted to talk to you. I know you just got started. In the business, but you moved to Charlotte probably about a few years ago, correct?
Yeah. I moved to Charlotte from Brooklyn, New York, about almost 4 years now, and you know, when I moved into my first space for me, mm-hmm, after living with roommates or, you know, my significant other for a little bit in New York, mm-hmm, it was like, yo, I want to really make this space mine. So right, I recall, you know, like really wanting to decorate my space, and I was gifted a plant my first year here. Okay. And that's kind of what kicked off what was already kind of embedded, you know, deep down, just mm-hmm, from what I, you know, experienced through work and things like that. And the rest has kind of been just picking up where I left off.
So you wasn't truly into plants, like, I mean, plants growing up. It wasn't embedded in your spirit or family or anything like that growing up.
Kind of here and there. Like, my grandma kept some on the porch. You know, my mom kept some around the house. But, like, for me personally, mm-hmm, it's kind of like, you know, something like as an adult, when you get to actually take care of something, it hit different, right? It's
that,
like, when
correct,
you start paying them bills, you know? So it was kind of the same thing with plants. It was like, okay, now this is something like I got to keep alive. And so I started just collecting my own. I had still like maybe two or three of them around, okay, the house. And then I actually had a job back in like 2010 at Lowe's watering plants.
Okay.
And it was a job I wasn't even supposed to have, but I took it because it was miscommunication. They didn't have the job that they offered me. So mm-hmm, it was like, this is all we got for right now. So I took it, and I learned a lot about watering plants, but I would never think, you know, almost 10 years later, I would be where I'm now, where I'm, you know, getting paid to do it for myself.
Right. So you moved down to Charlotte. Well, first of all, what brought you to, what coming from Brooklyn, what brought you to Charlotte?
So Charlotte is the number two banking center, you know, and mm-hmm, I was coming from the number one. So I actually moved within my job. I was working in financing.
Okay.
And I moved down. I grew up in North Carolina, so it was kind of like a coming home thing for me. It was
Park.
Okay, everywhere, man. Henderson, North Carolina is where I went to high school.
Okay.
My mom's from Oxford. You know, I lived in Cary for a little bit. I've been all throughout the Carolinas,
yeah,
man.
He got family. I got a homeboy in here. He got family from Oxford. So
yeah,
that's his
252-919.
Okay.
That, yeah.
All right. So the job brought you down here, and your past three, how do you feel about Charlotte? I like to ask individual, how do you actually feel about the city of Charlotte and the growth in the past 3 or 4 years?
So I think it depends on what side of the logistics you're on is how you'll feel about Charlotte. When I first moved to Charlotte, it was like, okay, this is cool. I can see the potential. Now as a business owner, I'm looking at it more from perspective of, well, there's definitely potential, but like, how can it affect me now? right? Because it's like, it's for every day I'm here in Charlotte, like I need to see progress, you know? But for the person who's lived there here all their lives, which I have friends who've lived in Charlotte all their lives, they're kind of like, ugh, it's stagnant.
Yeah.
Because like, they see the big growth, but it's not affecting them how it's affecting me as a business owner. Mm-hmm. For them, you know, they want to see breaks in their taxes. They want to see things that benefits the long term or the actual Charlottesians who's been here all their lives. I love that we just got a soccer team. I love that there's things that we're getting that puts us in the realm with the Houstons and the Dallases and the Atlantas. But black business Charlotte is missing. Like we got a lot to cover as far as brick and mortar locations. And I'm speaking as one who like had to fight to find some place to have my business. So yeah, I think it's cool. You know, I think it's a great community aspect. I love that I can walk pretty much anywhere in Charlotte and know somebody. I can tell you, I'm out with my fiance a lot now here. Oh, you the plant guy. And I have my mask on. Like, they just can recognize
they, they know
me, you know? So, like, you know, publications and things cover me. That's great. But, like, the person who's being around their lives, they probably don't feel the same way. So I think it depends on, like, what side of everything you're on.
No, I totally agree with that. Not – luckily for me, I have some good friends that are Charlotte natives and still stay here. So I get a lot of information. You know, I get a lot of information from them because they are out and about. And they do things, and they always kind of break down how things were before and how things are now. And, of course, I think a lot of Charlotte residents may have a, you know, have a different, you know, a different version because they're from, you know, they're from here. They might not be too keen of how the city is growing per se.
Right.
You have a lot going on. I've been here. I moved down in 2007.
Yeah.
So, of course, I've always came down here. But 2007, I'm originally from North Carolina. But moving to Charlotte in 2007 and seeing where it's at today in 2021, a lot has changed.
Yeah.
Uptown has changed. You know, so it's just a real big difference. But I do agree with what you're saying that black businesses are missing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the premises of this show.
Yeah.
Reaching out to individuals that I think, just seeing them from the ground up and seeing what they, you know, seeing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And just wanting to speak with you about the plant side, you know, just speaking with you about the plant side of things, I found it very interesting about it, found it very fascinating. Because like I said, during the pandemic, I want to say a lot of my friends, you know, that started to come up in the mix as far as part of the plan. Really wasn't much to do. You really didn't have anything going on. So plants started coming, you know, plants started coming into play. So that's what I want to. So before we get started into that, like, what are some of the popular plants? So let me tell you the ones that I've heard.
Right.
And make sure I'm saying it right. Of course, a snake plant.
Yeah, yeah.
Pothos?
You know, yeah, pothos, pothos.
Pothos.
Who you ask, yeah.
And I had a pineapple plant. And I don't know if I told you.
I heard the story about this pineapple plant.
I had a pineapple plant, man. I killed it. You know, and it was gifted to me. But when it was gifted to me, they didn't take good care of it either. Right. So I came into the mix saying, I'll be all right.
Yeah,
you know
what
I'm saying? And then once I got it, I was like, okay, I don't really know what to do with it. It wasn't that big, but it was big enough where it was starting to get some growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the time it was time for me to move, it wasn't happy. It wasn't happy, man.
There's a, you know, the Monstera, you know, fiddleleaf fig as some more popular plants, you know, ZZ plant. Cast iron plant, if you're asking some of the older heads who, you know, grew up with that plant. But I think ultimately what got me back in, like, what put me on the business side of popular, you know, trying to figure out, like, where I could blend these worlds was, like, we see these plants, but we just never knew how to care for them. And I don't think it was ever, and it's a lot of niches like this. It's like, I came in through the wine industry.
Right.
If you don't dumb things down for everybody, black or white, then you really don't, you have a way of gatekeeping. And that's what was happening with the plant community. It's like, everyone's like, oh, just water it. Give it sun. That's how you keep it alive.
Right.
So it's like, I came in with saying, okay, like, I'm giving a lot of education, but what if I add a business perspective as well, you know, and give a whole experience? And that's why, you know, people started to really enjoy the shop. But I'm really big on education. I don't care how popular the plant is. I want to dumb it all the way down. Like, only water it once a week.
Right.
Only water it once a month. Or even, you know, even more than that, water it when it's completely dry. You know, like when you speak like that, mm-hmm. rather than just water it, or you know, like that, then you can really get an interaction with them and understand what they're doing wrong, mm-hmm. to help build that confidence. So I don't think it was a thing of, like you said earlier, like the Black community getting involved. I think it's finally enough of us that are knowing of like how to take care of them in the Black community, sharing that information and making it like digestible for our people.
Now explain to me the process of that. Saw an interview with you talking about, well, you know, I've seen people do this, but I just never understood it as far as communicating with the plants, talking to the plants.
Yeah.
Is that really a big thing to help these plants grow?
I won't say it's like a huge thing. I think it's depending on who you ask, but like me personally, it's routine and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you would with any relationship you have. You know, it's like if you water it and you know, speak to it and, you know, kind of have a real relationship with it, then it grows.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a plant in your second bedroom you never go into, like, you can't see it grow. You can't interact with it. So it's like, if you're speaking to your plants and you have that relationship with it and you're, you know, it's on your routine, it's on your radar every Saturday to do or whatever, then it gives it a better chance at living. But I think too many times we treat them like a lot of those side relationships or friendships we have, where it's like you can't do that with plants. It's got to be consistent,
like that pineapple plant.
Yeah pineapple plant needed a little bit more loving, man.
I feel you. So with the plant industry, when you say you came from the wine industry,
right.
Doing that, and so what when did the light bulb go off in your head to say, you know what, this is something I don't, you know, I want to kind of discontinue doing and moving into the plant world? Like when did that thought process start to come about?
So it's funny because I was working in the wine industry for almost about 3 years. I was one of the only brothers in that industry. And while I was working my ass off in that industry, I wasn't getting nowhere near the love that I was getting in the plant community. And it was conflicting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you imagine, like, anytime you would post something, you get 300, 400 likes or 2,000 views, and then you go to work and, like, you barely feeling the love, you know?
Right,
and it
exactly.
was like, all right, how can I like generate income? Like, people obviously like me, but like I can't do nothing in my current industry to get me more money or to make me, to put me where I want to be.
Right.
You know? So luckily I worked, the wine industry or the wine section is typically near the plant section. If you ever go to a grocery store, typically like the florist. So my relationships with the florist kind of helped me understand the business side of plants, because I would talk to them about where they're getting it from and where, you know, how much it costs and what they're selling it for and what happens to the plants that don't sell. And like, so, you know, my relationship to them, just being a people person, just helped me, you know, really gain footing in my business. And making that transition was easy. It was just kind of figuring out where to do it. But it wasn't like my 2020, I didn't wake up one day. Well, I did, but I didn't like have it on my calendar. Like, I'm gonna open a plant shop. Like, literally, I woke up one day and was like, I'm gonna open a plant shop. I was on my last write up. I was tired of trying to prove that I was worthy in this industry. And I was like, I'm gonna show you in this industry really, you know, who I am.
Okay. And I guess that's where the concept came from, as far as I guess when you told people your plans and what you wanted to do.
Yep.
They find it a little bit amusing.
Oh, yeah.
a little bit amusing to do that.
I'll never forget that conversation when he was like, you know, if you don't mind me asking, like, what are you going to be doing? And I was like, I'm opening a plant shop. And he was like, house plants? I was like, yeah. He was like, okay. And I was like, nah, that's not enough. That's not enough for me. So I was like, pull up my Instagram. And he like lost his mind. Like, he was like, yo, this is crazy.
Had no idea.
He had no idea.
And it goes back to what you were saying before about how you was in something totally different that nobody really paid it. Well, you know, some didn't. The one that you thought was going to pay attention didn't.
Yeah.
And then now you're about to roll out. Mm-hmm. And now they see what you've been doing.
Yeah.
It's always funny, though.
Yeah. And it's so cool because we was able to keep a good relationship. Like, you know, one thing about management or, you know, people who work for corporate, like, they don't understand, like, their managers are people, their supervisors are people.
Right.
So it's like they're just trying to do that job, you know, and sometimes y'all just clash, you know, but we still keep in contact. I even donated to my GoFundMe.
That's
so
fun.
It was like, you know, to see that come full circle, to be like, hey, I really applaud you for doing this. And, you know, it meant a lot.
I'm a firm believer of not burning your bridges.
Yeah.
Understand that there's probably some bridges that you don't care to mend.
Yeah.
But you always want to leave that room open, just you know, just in case.
Yeah.
So I understand it's not that easy at times for some people. They're ready to go and they just be like, "Yo, F this, I'm out." But I try my best. I try my best to not burn bridges in work, within friendships at times, and even just within, you know, just having that. Because you just never know what's going to go on. And like you said, that brother, you know, donated to your GoFundMe.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I almost needed him because, like, now I'm on the retail side. So when I need wine, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go to my old job to get my wine. So it's right. Like, it's a full circle, like you were saying. Like, you just can't burn that bridge.
What are some of the misconceptions about plant life as far as with us?
I think the biggest misconception with us and plants, particularly the Black community, mm-hmm. is that it's just automatically going to give you a vibe. Like, oh, if you have all these plants in your house, you can get this vibe. And it's not necessarily the plants that gave a vibe. Mm-hmm. I think we always had that sauce, that's, you know, that soul. Like, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's the way that we right. use the plants that really make it pop. So, you know, I can get the same three plants to one person, the same three plants to another person, and the rooms are going to look totally different, mm-hmm. you know?
Do you look at somebody's Instagram sometimes that, I'm not going to say that. You ever look at somebody?
I was like, let me see how truthful I can be.
Hey, all right, cool. Have you ever looked at somebody's Instagram, right, and all of a sudden it came out the blue with all of these plants? Does it look like to you that sometimes they're frauding?
Yes. So, man.
I was trying to find the right way to say it without coming off, but so, no, frauding.
I'm glad you, like, I get, let me just loosen up the shoulders a little bit.
Just let it all out. Cause I want to know now. Everybody wants to know.
Yeah, so I will feel like, I will say this. It hurt me a little bit last year to see a lot of the businesses exploit the plant community in a way where it was like, yo, we had this great idea. We going to, like, do this in front of plants. Insert anything. It could be like, we're going to do a concert in front of plants. We're going to shoot a product in front of plants. We're mm-hmm. going to, and you could just do that over and over in the industry, no matter what it was. And my issue was, anytime people saw plants, you saw in the comments, people were asking questions, thinking that these people were experts about the plants. Mm-hmm. And now you got misinformation, and now, you know, you have this whole big, my job is I'm trying to build you up and give you confidence, give right. you good information. But if you getting bad information just because that's what's hip, that's the trend right now, then I got to redo all of this all over again.
Right.
So, yeah, like, you're right. Like, I saw celebrities. I saw a lot of corporate businesses just all of a sudden, like, really be into it. And then when the winter came, they washed their hands of it. You stopped seeing it. And now you about to see it again. And it's frustrating because, like, it's businesses such as myself who've been around all winter
mm-hmm.
that needed that support, that needed that love. And when these other businesses pop off, or these other celebrities or whatever decide to dip their hands back into the plant pot, so to speak, they're going to get that attention again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, ultimately, yeah, like, if you're really about this, understand, you got to do your research. I watch tons of YouTube videos. I'm always in the books. I'm doing trial and error every day,
mm-hmm.
put my hands in the dirt. So it's like frustrating when you just see, you know, a t-shirt pop up, you know, and then that was like a trend and then it was gone. You know, when you got people like who've built their entire brand and their being mm-hmm. around this. And you can do that with anything. You can do that with sneakers, you know, the food community,
right.
photography. It'd be like you doing photography for 12 years and then somebody just throw photography in their bio with their iPhone and, like, you know, Fuji and be like, oh yeah, I'm a photographer now.
Yeah.
You know, like that, that's that feeling that I had.
Okay. Trust me, I understand when you take pride in something and somebody just out there just doing it dirty. That's why I wanted to ask that question because, again, around the pandemic time, it started getting discussed a lot more. Not saying that it was ever, you know, not out there, but I just started noticing it a lot.
Yeah.
And I was looking at some people's Instagram and I was like, you don't look like you're about this life.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact I'm not about, you know, I'm not about that life, but I would love to, you know, learn a little bit more about it. So I did have a chance to stop by your shop on the first one, off of 7th Street.
Off of 7, yeah.
But you were actually busy at the time. You actually had, you had some people in there looking at, I think they were thinking the interview going on with one of the news stations, I'm not sure. So I didn't have a chance to get it. I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but just kind of looking at it first glance, looking at the intimacy of it. When you start, well, first of all, how you found that? How did you find that spot? Cause I know when we was talking offline, how challenging it was for you to find a spot to do what you're doing. So how did you end up finding that spot?
So that spot, I found through a friend who was like already in that building, and it kind of worked for what it was at the time, because I wasn't really sure. I was only signed a 6-month lease. So I was like, I don't really know how this is going to pop. And then when it got to the point where like the COVID was getting more serious and like I couldn't safely sell plants in there, I was like, I got to look elsewhere, you know? And when I started looking elsewhere, it was like, that's when I talked about black business earlier, that's when I realized that it's really not a lot of us out here. And that's why I realized how important it was for me to keep some type of storefront. Everybody, you know, is a food truck for everything. There's a online shop for everything. But it's like, that's still ways to control our visibility. Like, you know, you look at somebody like Romeo's right now who can't find a stable place to set up, and they booming right now.
Killing. Have you had it before?
Love it. Absolutely love that.
It's food. Great.
And I'm not even vegan, but I love that.
I'm not either. It was great, man. It was worth my 2-hour wait.
Yeah. I mean, and then again, like, to just hear how they're getting kind of like kicked out from people just around, like, oh, yeah, we don't want them here or whatever. Like, that sucks. Because, like,
nobody's doing anything, which is crazy. You know, it's just a matter of the fact that they got big so quick. And the lines are out.
The branding is perfect. Yeah. I love, like, what they're doing with the, you know, the rabbit. And I just love what that whole theme is like. So it's like, on a bigger scale, if we had 5 of those type of businesses in brick and mortar, we're talking about a whole different Charlotte scene.
Yeah.
But instead, you see the same businesses who's getting coverage because they're the only ones who have storefronts. And it's like, if in a situation where I want to send you somewhere, I can't be guessing where I want to send you, especially with our people. Our people are like, we came all the way on this side and we didn't get what we wanted.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, we never going back. You know, so it's like, I knew how important it was to keep a storefront. So, like, you know, right now we're in the Hartwoodson Gallery. It's an art gallery. It's a very different space because you can't just come by. You got to book an appointment. And I know that's very different, but it's like, I'm going to spend 30 minutes with you anyway. Just book an appointment, get some one-on-one time with me, and we'll get you the right plant. So,
is that why you were saying that it was a little bit challenging for you in the other spot? Because it was more so about not, I know you did appointments there at times, but I guess people kind of walking in and out of that space.
Yeah.
And not being able to have that, I guess, that one-on-one interaction. Yeah. I know you had some help in there, but just having that one-on-one interaction was a little bit difficult for you.
It was tough because, like, when Charlotte Agenda covered us, I think that Saturday we were, like, 4 or 5 people out of the store and the line. And it's, like, just me, and I'm trying to keep up with everybody. I got my mom downstairs taking orders. You know, for people, I'm like, yo, you got your plant now. You can go downstairs. My mom will take care of you. Like, you know, trying to develop a different process to handle the demand. And people left, you know, like, I get it. Like, I'm not going to wait around for a plant. But then you see Plant Bar open up and you see a line out the door and people waiting patiently. So it's like, I know I'm giving the same quality, if not better service, but it's just like if you're really going to support small business, you got to understand that when we get coverage like that, it's going to put us in a different predicament. And
although it's a good one.
Yeah,
it's a good one to have, but it also pushes you back a little bit in trying to make sure that you're giving quality.
Qualities, because I can't rush service. My process, because then you're going to feel that rush. So it was like, okay, if I'm going to pivot, why don't I pivot to a boutique experience that's like a bridal shop or like a tailor shop? When you'll get a suit done, they not rushing you. They let you come in. They ask you if they want anything to drink. They sit and talk with you. That's the experience I'm giving people with plants. You come down, you sit, I'm talking to you, filling out your home. If you got pictures, we go over those. I show you previous projects. I show you pots, plant. Like, it's a whole experience in about 30 minutes. And if I have the plant and everything, then I pot it, we leave. If not, then I give you an estimate, and you come back just like you would with those other type of shops. And it's like, we deserve luxury too. So it's like, if no one's going to make the or carve the lane for luxury for us to experience something different, how do we get to experience it?
Right. And so talk about the how you set up the plant, because I think this is a good thing to know for people. Does the pot matter?
Yes, certainly. And I'm we just got up on Airbnb last week. So what I'm doing is online experiences. And I talk about this very thing, how the plant and the pot has a relationship just like anything else. Mm-hmm. And you can get the right plant, put it in the wrong pot, even with a drainage hole, and it work against you. When you get the pot, you want it to work with you. Mm-hmm. So if you get something, just to make a quick example, like a Monstera. Monstera is like moist soil. You put it in a terracotta clay pot. Mm-hmm. It's going to draw the moisture away from the soil. So now the pot is working against you because you're trying to keep the soil moist and the pot is actually pulling all the moisture out. Mm-hmm. So if you put that in a glazed ceramic where it's not as porous, it's not pulling moisture, now you're getting a better pot, you're getting a better relationship between the plant, and you're going to have longevity. Because what happens is, if you kill that Monstera, now you're like, oh, I did something wrong. I watered it every week. What did I do wrong? Right. But it's like you put it in a pot that didn't work with you. That worked literally against you. And if you're not in a position to recognize that, like, oh man, it keep drying out quicker, how do I stop this? Then you're gonna lose that confidence. So that's why I'm doing these workshops with Airbnb, to have those conversations. It's just $25. It's like 45 minutes of people's time, but I think it's going to help people going into this next season, where they're going out to buy pots for plants that grew out the other size pots. It's time to repot it, and they can make better decisions this time.
And just to add to that, that $25 for the appointment also goes towards your plant, correct?
Right. So these are like two different, I try to stay around these price points. So Airbnb is $25 for the workshop. You get a Zoom link and you spend 45 minutes with me and other people in the class, and we talk about the plant and pot relationship. The private booking sessions are $25 deposit, and you know, that goes towards your purchase. So when you book with a, you know, private shopping experience, you come in, we go through all the plants and pots and some options which you're looking for, and then by typically between 7 and 10 days, we'll have you a turnaround finished product.
So, okay. As far as business itself, because I'd like to get your opinion on this since you have started a business, and a lot of people do reach out to me as far as businesses goes. Yeah. So my question to you is, what is your mindset when you're going into marketing your business? I think at times with small businesses, I think there comes a point in time where the marketing sometimes may not be the most efficient.
Yeah.
So how do you combat that and what without, you know, not giving all your secrets away?
Of course. I mean, for one, you gotta be your brand. Like, you gotta live your brand. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people who have great ideas, but unfortunately, they don't live out the brand that they're trying to sell. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to sell wine, I need to know the lifestyle that you and wine have together. I want to see you in the red wine in a cozy corner with some plants around you on a Saturday when it's raining. You know, right, what I'm saying? Like, I need to see that visually, and not so much like wordy text on your page or whatever, you know. And that's just one of the many examples. And don't be afraid to outsource your marketing. Like, if that's not your thing and you just make great ideas and a great product, okay, you know, trade that off. Mm-hmm. Pay somebody to do that, and you handle what you're good at. You know, I think it's too many of us trying to do jobs that we're not really good at to quote unquote save money, but in reality, you lose way more money than you think.
Oh, yeah, because I think sometimes people will go straight to their Instagram, and I've seen a couple of businesses as of lately.
Yeah,
and just looked at it, and I could tell, this wasn't a good, you know, this wasn't a good look. But they are trying to save money.
Yeah,
and trying to figure it out. Do you did you seek out any mentorship with starting your business?
My business, no. Believe it or not, I didn't even have a business plan, and I encourage people to get one or to write one down, but For me, it was pretty much just, I've been working since I was 17. Mm-hmm. I've pretty much always been in sales. You pretty much get the premise of buy low, sell where you can make a profit, and, you know, do it again the next day. Mm-hmm. but there's times where that's hurt me. There's definitely times where I'm like, man, that I could have done this better, or I could have bought bulk here, or something like that, you know. So I do wish I had a mentor at times. Mm-hmm. I think now I've finally built up that courage to ask questions to better business owners, mm-hmm. Which I did right before my business. I reached out to Folia Collective out in LA, which is probably one of the biggest plant shops in LA. I reached out to Zen Succulent here in Durham, mm-hmm. And in Raleigh. They're a black-owned plant shop. I'm not afraid to ask, and if they never answer, that's fine. But, you know, luckily they did. And I'm sure things are a lot different depending on your time, but, you know, it's all about that perfect timing when you, you know, make sure you do your research first before mm-hmm. you ask all the questions.
Right.
But, you know, come correct and be serious about your work.
So what are some of the dope plants for interior? I just bought a place.
You just bought a spot.
Yeah, so somebody just bought a place. How do you explain what type of plant they need?
Yeah, so when I'm doing my house calls, and it's typical for, like, you know, big places that they just really want it to be lush and feel homey, mm-hmm. I typically like to start with low maintenance plants first that mm-hmm. fit your lifestyle. So my favorite to put in any place is a ZZ plant. That's letter Z, a letter Z, ZZ plant. Mm-hmm. It's short for the longer scientific name that ain't nobody got time for. And it's an all-around easy plant to take care of. Mm-hmm. You don't have to water it, but once, like, a month, 4 to 6 weeks, it grows 3.5 to 4 feet tall. So it's just a loving plant. I mean, it's a slow-growing plant, so it's not something you have to keep, you know, repotting every so often.
That's
probably one of my favorite. But then, you know, one of the big misconceptions is everybody just want a tall plant. I'll get that, like, that's probably the number one question in my DMs. You got any tall plants? Mm-hmm. Tall plants are expensive, for one. I can get them for you, but they're going to be expensive, and for two, they're a lot harder to take care of when it comes to repotting and stuff like that. So are you ready for the maintenance, you know, when it outgrows that pot? So those are all things that I just kind of run back to people when I'm doing those house calls.
Okay. You do the consultation. You, people depend on which one, which plant they want to get. So explain the benefit. I probably should have asked that way at the beginning. Yeah. But although people like to get plants for the look because it makes the eye, you know, it's good, it's great on the eye.
Yeah.
Explain the benefits. Like, what is the great benefits of plants?
So, like, biophilic design is the technical term for what I do. Mm-hmm. Basically, my job is to help bring the outdoors indoors mm-hmm. and make it aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
It's, you know, scientific fact that, you know, when we're outside, we feel better because of the trees and just the life around us. So it's like bringing that indoors, we bring those benefits indoors with you, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, beyond the fact of the aesthetic, I think the best thing it does is slow us down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people wake up, like, an hour, 15 minutes before they leave the house, you know, or, you know, like, they don't have a routine for what they everything's a rush. Everything is, I got to do it quick. Everything's like, I don't have time for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But plants actually force you to slow down. If not, you're going to visually see a difference in your plants. When you have the time to slow down, when you have the time to water it and take care of it and prune it, not only is it better for the plant, it's better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can, like, slow down and appreciate what you actually have in your house.
Right.
I think that's the biggest, like, benefit. The other benefits come with, like, developing a routine, you know, like, fixing your bed. Like, that should be a part of your routine every day, mm-hmm. you know. So, like, that should be the same thing with your plants. It's every Saturday, every Sunday you check in with your plants. Responsibility, accountability. Did I water this plant? Did I rotate this plant? You know, these are parts of your routine that hopefully are becoming embedded in other things in your lifestyle too, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are some, like, health benefits, such as, like, helping you sleep and, like, somehow making the air quality better, but not necessarily because you need so many. So some mm-hmm. people buy one plant and be like, oh, it's helping me with my air quality, and that's not true. So I always, like, debunk that myth out the gate. You can't buy one plant, put it in a room, and it just make the better, you know, air better in that space. It's not true. You would need, literally, in this space that we're in now, we would need, like, 2,000 plants in here to even t- touch what the air quality would be like. So yeah, I mean, those type of things are used to sell to people, but I'm not here to sell you. I'm here to educate you. So
yeah, because I was one of those guys. I thought, you know, a few plants would change things, but
yeah, I used to have people come in the shop and be like, I got asthma, I'm buying a plant today. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna sell you a plant, but I ain't gonna help your asthma. Like, you know, I'll help you to be honest with that.
Man, I appreciate this conversation, Barry. What's next, man? What's next for Shades of Moss?
Oh man, so we're really like digging deeper inside of like the potted plant designs. I really want to get really exclusive in some of the designs and looks that you see. I'm going to be boosting up private shopping experiences and doing more virtual tours of the shop to show people what it's like, and do shopping with you over Zoom if you can't make it. Mm-hmm. The virtual workshops will stay the same. I think at some point we will be back into a, like, you know, walk-in type experience somewhere else. But right now we're working with what we got to get to where we're going.
And that's
been my little saying lately. And yeah, I mean, people can, you know, always reach out to me online, and we, you know, we can build something that way too. But yeah, I think that's going to be the next big wave, is like virtual shopping and workshops and stuff like that. So,
well, I'm going to set me up an appointment soon.
Yeah.
Because I just want one.
Yeah.
One or two. You know, one or two to start with, and I'll take it from there.
Yeah.
You know,
And that's, I want to make sure, like, when you leave me, or when I leave your house, I want to make sure, like, next week you're not sending me a picture like, what happened? You
know? Right.
Like, I want to make sure I set the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I pot a lot of the plants I do, because I know what I did with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, developing a text community and like having that open relationship where you can shoot me a text. I'm like, yo, look at the new leaf that came in.
Right.
You know, like, I want that type of community for us, and not just social media, you know.
I understand.
So, yeah.
But again, Barry, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate you sitting down and talking with me. I know you just gave that information, but give everybody your detailed information where they can find you at.
Yeah. So you can find me at Green Thumbs. That's GreenThumbz. You can also find me at greenthumbs.com, same spelling. And then, again, if you're looking to be part of the virtual workshops on Airbnb, the link is in that bio, so you can be a part of those workshops and just learn a little bit more about what we're doing.
No doubt, man. I wish you great success.
Thank you.
With that, I think you're going to get a lot of business coming your way in the near future. You're doing well now, but I just think you're going to get even more increased business, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing your trajectory.
Yeah.
Trajectory moving forward. So I do appreciate it. Appreciate you all listening in to this episode with Barry Green and Shades of Moss. I am your host, E-Dub, and you can find me on my Instagram at whogotnext_CLT. If you have any questions, any comments, any feedback, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, email me. Email me at whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And as I always state, if you out there doing some dope things, trust me, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, we are going to talk about what you have going on next. All right? Peace.